Friends, turn with me, please, to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. I have given this chapter, indeed my address is in, an overall title of Courage in Crisis. Courage in Crisis. And that most certainly summed up the life and times of God's servant, Daniel. A man who's courageous for his Lord and God, confronted with a crisis in his life, whether or not to serve God or serve the king, but a man who stood resolute and determined to serve his Lord and Master. Courage in Crisis. And I believe, friends, that my title of this address this evening is relevant to you and to me also. Because you and I in life, many a time we confront situations, difficulties. We confront crises in our own lives. We too must be courageous to take our stand for our Lord and our Master. Now, friends, if I was to say to you this evening, to you as Christians this evening, don't pray to God. Don't pray to the Almighty, and don't do so for the next 30 days. I wonder how you respond. Well, I'm quite sure as believers, you would not be pleased with my request, and I hope you disobey what I ask you to do. Yet this is the very thing which Daniel was commanded to do by King Darius, the king of Persia. This royal edict, this royal command had gone out, demanding, expecting Daniel not to pray for a period of time. The king's command had gone out. Others were watching. A crisis had arisen as far as Daniel was concerned. Should this 80-year-old man called Daniel continue a lifelong habit of praying 3 times a day? Or should he give prayer a miss the next month? That was what confronted Daniel. That was the crisis in his life. Should he keep on praying, or should he give a miss for a short period of time? After all, it was only a month, not very long. This was the situation which Daniel found himself in. And for him, it was one which required courage and bravery in this time of crisis. Now, friends, I know for us here this evening in Kilnats, this is a well-known Bible story. It's one that we all learn from childhood. A simple story, but it's a lesson to teach you and me this evening. We see here, first of all, then, a choice. A choice. The stark choice was between life and death. It was as clear as that. For Daniel to stop praying meant prolonging his life. For him to keep on praying would lead to a painful, frightful, horrendous death in man's den. A choice had to be made. But for Daniel, the child of the one true God, the one who was depending upon God for his life, at the end of the day, for Daniel, there really was no choice whatsoever. He knew what he had to do. He knew what God required of him. For Daniel, he must keep on praying to his God no matter what dangers he had to confront. Daniel had been called upon here to remain faithful to his master. And so in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, we are told there, "Now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went home. And his upper room, right, in his bedroom, his upper room. Within his open court, Jerusalem, he knelt down his knees 3 times a day and prayed. And gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. At this stage, in verse 10 of chapter 6, Daniel has now come to a decision. Daniel has now made up his mind. He has made his choice. His choice is to remain faithful to his God, keep on praying, keep on trusting. I find an interesting note here at the end of verse 10. Some words in that verse which I find very interesting indeed. Concerning earlier on Daniel praying, and it says at the end of the verse, as was his custom since early days. As was his custom since early days. In other words, for Daniel, Daniel was a man of prayer. He had prayed often and prayed regularly. It was his normal custom. It was his normal manner of living and of life. As an aside here, friends, but a very important aside here for you and me as Christians this evening, it should be our custom day by day by day by day to be found praying to our Father in heaven. Taking time to commune with him as we acknowledge his name, as we bring before him our needs and requirements, that we also seek to glorify him at all times. After all, my friends, there'll be something wrong, I believe, in our spiritual walk with God if we'd fail in this matter. What I'm trying to say is this, put it very simply this evening. Never a day should pass in your life and my life that we've not taken time to get along with the Lord in prayer. That is important. That's essential. Here we come back to the situation here now for Daniel. The strange thing was that King Darius had planned earlier on to give Daniel authority over the whole kingdom. So why then did he pass a law which now placed his favourite official, being Daniel, in such peril, in such danger? It appears here from Scripture that this foolish king listened to the flattery and the lies of his jealous officials. Those officials resented the promotion being offered to Daniel. The king listened to them, and so the king uttered this decree. We see then a man full of pride and full of arrogance. Friends, what's new? What's new? Do you not see that area of life in our leaders worldwide? Men and women full of arrogance, determined to go their own ways, please themselves, turn a man, and disregard God himself. Indeed, I'd like to suggest to you this evening that very, very few, if any, of our world leaders about the world, kings, queens, presidents, prime ministers, whoever they be, doesn't matter who they are, I'd like to suggest to you the very few of them would know Christ personally in their hearts. But now for Daniel, his circumstances had changed dramatically. It was his custom to pray regularly, 3 times a day. But now this decree had gone out, things had changed greatly. But if things had changed, and they had changed, Daniel had not changed. Daniel had not changed. The law of the land had changed, yes. Daniel had not changed. Daniel simply carried on praying to his Father in heaven, as was his custom. What a chance this is to us all. As you see around us in society, as you see society's standards being lowered and lowered and lowered continually, as you see God's day, God's word and God's ways disregarded at all times, as you see all these changes around us, my friends, I trust that you and I are found never changing, never changing, as far as the old biblical truths and principles of God's word are concerned, always remaining steadfast and true to our Lord and to our God. This is indeed a great challenge to us all these days, and what is more, it's going to be more and more of a challenge in days and years to come in our land. The day will come where you and I, as Christian believers, what we find taking a very firm stand, we're doing so already, of course, but even more so into the future, for our Lord and His truth. We must be careful, like Daniel, to keep on praying to our Father in heaven, regardless of all the circumstances. We know the value of prayer and the importance of prayer. Let's then keep on praying. A biblical commentator, the name of Stuart Olliott, has written a commentary on Daniel. And in that commentary, Olliott suggests the following. He says, the real den of lions was Daniel's bedroom, not the den. Daniel knew if he disobeyed the king's command, he'd be mauled and savaged by wild animals and would lose his life. But he would not have lost his testimony. Of course, the devil would prefer that we would keep our lives, that we preserve our lives, and I no harm to befall us and lose our testimonies. That would be the devil's choice for us as Christian believers. But that must not be the route which you take. You must maintain our testimony for the truth of God's ways. We must take Daniel of courage. Courage at times of difficulty to stand firm and true for our master. We must be willing to risk becoming unpopular for the sake of our Lord. And it's not nice being unpopular. Perhaps there's some here this evening, and in your family or wider family circle, you've unbelieving family members. And because of your adherence to God's truth and God's ways, and because of your love for the Saviour, that makes you unpopular in the eyes of your family members. Perhaps some of your close friends are not Christians. You're unpopular in their eyes. Or in the workplace, because of your adherence to God's word, to God's day, to integrity, uprightness, truthfulness, doesn't make you popular in their eyes. But friends, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Better to be unpopular in their eyes and maintain your testimony and maintain your standard of truth to the Lord. Courage in crisis comes through discipline of daily fellowship with God. Again, we see this so clearly. That was the secret to Daniel's spiritual success. His was daily fellowship, daily prayerfulness with his covenant God. Through what we call our regular quiet times of prayer and Bible study. And isn't that why, friends, you and I, at some stage every day of life, surely we take time to read God's word, to ponder what we've read, and thus we pray. We need those occasions in our lives to open our faith and keep it strong and true for our Lord. And so it is, friends, when that is our normal practice, our normal conduct, then when our choices confront us in life, I'm not sure what to do or how to go, what way to go. Very often those choices are easily arrived at. Isn't arrived at. Through what we've read in the scriptures or through our times of prayer. Neither the king's business nor threats kept Daniel from his routine of praying 3 times a day. Friends, when we are too busy to pray, then be assured the lion's den has become our bedroom, our living room, our kitchen. Be assured it will already be eaten up if not taking time for prayer. Alas, friends, I'm not the praying man I ought to be or should be. I fear in this regard continually. I endeavour to be a man of prayer nevertheless. But in my ministry, I always try to encourage those whom I come into contact, remind them of the importance of prayer, the place of prayer, the time of prayer. And very often, when they encourage prayer life, very often they comment and admit to me, "Oh, I'm too busy. If you only knew what I've got to do each day, so much activities to be fulfilled, I don't have time." And my standard answer to that is simply this: when we are too busy to pray, then truly we are too busy. When we are too busy to pray, then truly we are too busy. Something else we need to decide. Prayer should be given priority. Is that not we, friends, you and I, as Christian believers, in this our busy lives? And we're all busy. We're all busy. As someone said in session this morning, even in retirement, years pass on, retirement, we still find ourselves busy. We're occupied. But no matter how busy we are in life, we still make the choice of keeping that daily appointment with God in prayer. So we've seen here then a choice. Secondly, we look here, a commitment. We're told here concerning Daniel in verse 10 again, his time of prayer. Verse 10 reads, "The windows opened towards Jerusalem." Was this the foolishness of a stubborn old man, or the fans of a determined godly protester? Well, it was none of these. Rather, Daniel's conduct expressed his confidence in his covenant-keeping God. He believed that God would fulfill his promises to take the Jews, his own chosen people, keep them safe and secure in himself, that one day they would take it back to the promised land. That's revealed to us there in chapter 9, the first three verses of Daniel. As you appreciate, at this particular time in history, the Jewish people have been exiled to Babylon. Daniel sorrowfully recalls the crumbling walls of the Jewish capital. He realizes that things are not as they should be. The temple had been destroyed by the Nebuchadnezzar's armies many years earlier. He realized that much had happened to cause distress and to cause trouble. Yet nevertheless, Daniel with confidence prayed for his commitment, believing and trusting and knowing that God would do all things well, and that God would do as he had promised and bring a deliverer to Israel. It was to that land that Daniel looked and to his God for help as he prayed. His faith, based on God's word, would eventually receive its reward whenever something spectacular happened. Something really happened here, friends, which, humanly speaking, you and I could never in a million years imagine it happened. Here was Daniel praying. Here was the situation, the Jewish people in exile. What prospects? But God was working. God was working. We're told how Cyrus, the Persian, the king following Nebuchadnezzar, issued a decree. And that decree allowed all the exiles to return home to Jerusalem. That's why I was stressing and exaggerating there. My words to you, millions of years, millions. In no way, humanly speaking, could you imagine that could have happened. But it did happen. It happened as God worked in Cyrus's life, but more importantly still, as God worked in Daniel's life in prayer, as God answered that prayer. That reminds us too, in our Christian living, we must be fully committed to our Lord in prayer, genuinely looking to him, praying believingly, praying trustingly, as we pray, doing so believingly, that God will answer all things in accordance with his will. And so it was. This man, Cyrus, was raised up and President Nebuchadnezzar. How different this was then to the attitude of the arrogant Nebuchadnezzar, who had to learn the hard way that God is sovereign. You know the story concerning Nebuchadnezzar? How for 7 years he became mentally unstable. He had to chew grass like the oxen. But this taught him a very valuable lesson. He discovered the Most High's dominion is eternal, that before him all the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. Nebuchadnezzar had to confess in chapter 4 of our book here that God does as he pleases, that no one can hold his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" We see here then the situation of Nebuchadnezzar. The emphasis is on God's majesty, revealing to us again that God is supreme. All authority lies with him. And because he's supreme, you and I can find our comfort in that fact. Daniel, the man of prayer, was fully committed to his prayer life. look what happened. Nebuchadnezzar removed. Cyrus raised up. Cyrus signs the decree. And Judah back to Jerusalem. And this is a lesson for us all here this evening, friends. You and I in our Christian prayer lives want to be fully committed in prayer. As we ask God, make a request of God, we ought to do so believingly, believing what we're asking for in God's will, they'll grant it to us. That's why you see when we come to our end of prayers in the veils, we always conclude those well-known words, "Your will be done, O Lord." We pray, we're committed. Depending on the day our desire is, the will of the Lord shall be fulfilled in our prayer lives. And then, thirdly and finally, just now a sentence or two. We see here a comfort. A comfort. Daniel's faithfulness in prayer led to the lion's den, but the God whom he served continually sent his angel to shut the mouth of the hungry animals. Daniel's life was preserved. Same is true for ourselves, friends. As you and I face and confront the lions of society around us, as you and I, day by day, confront many dilemmas and difficulties in life, our comfort lies in knowing that our Lord is always there for us. He'll not leave us. He'll not forsake us. Our Lord will always be the same. He encourages us and strengthens us along the way. As a child, I learned the line, "Dare to be Daniel. Dare to stand alone." Let's all be Daniels this evening. Even we're called upon to stand alone for truth, let's all stand firmly for our Lord and Master, knowing he will comfort us and encourage us along the way. So friends, take a sermon home with you this evening. Ponder what you've heard this evening. May each one be found all the more committed to our Lord in prayer. As Christian believers, as we're strengthened in our faith and our walk with God, we know assuredly the Lord's hand upon us at every juncture of life. Amen.